everybody. I hope you hear us. How are you doing? Good evening. I think just 2 minutes ago I put out, hey, we're going to be live at 6:30. I'm sorry. So we'll give time for everybody to get online with us. We also have a live studio audience. That's
Yay, let's hear it from the audience. Now keep back. Don't get excited.
Well, everyone knows we started going live when we had to, you know, for the COVID-19 and not attending services. So we've been doing this live for a long time, for Sundays and Wednesdays.
Yeah, for a few weeks
but
now.
But then we went away for Wednesdays for a while, but we're back. Jeff, we're back.
We are back, and I'm glad to be back. For all of you that are watching us, we are maintaining social distancing. Got everybody, for the most part, sitting about 6 feet apart from each other, minimizing the hugs and the handshakes. Everybody's hitting the hand sanitizer real good. So we're doing good. I see everybody here. There's probably about 15 or 20 people here, and it's great. It is absolutely great. You know what? More than anything, when the psalmist David said what? He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know what? Church means more to me than ever. You know, you always know about how much something means when it's taken away from you. You know, and so we kind of take church for granted. And I want to tell you what, I'm not going to take church for granted anymore. I love the people of God. I love everybody that's here. And I love being here with you. Pastor Todd, why don't you open us up in prayer this evening and ask God's blessing upon this place?
Amen. First of all, God, we just thank you. We praise you and thank you for protection, for provision, for your kindness, for your grace on us, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for peace in Phoenix. We thank you for peace in Arizona. We thank you for peace, Lord, in the United States. We thank you for peace around the world. We thank you for your power, and that peace is Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us and setting us free. We thank you for today. And Lord, we pray that you would be in charge tonight and you would guide us in everything that we do and say, be glorified in everything here, Lord. And we pray for those that can't be here tonight physically, Lord, we pray for physical healing for them. Lord, we pray for the Ayala's tonight, Lord, as they are in Colorado, and tomorrow they do a service for their mom, Lord God, and thanking God for her life here on planet Earth. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray for them. And God, we pray that you'd be exalted in everything that we say and do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody. Let me tell you what, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad for our production team. You know what? We never ever say anything about our production team. We've got David and Connie Rind. And if there's ever a prayer request that you send in to us over Facebook, Connie's the one that writes it down real quick and sticks it in front of us so that we know exactly in real time what's going on. We also have the Franklins here. We have Jacob and Megan. And we say God bless to everybody. You know what? They put in a lot of time and a lot of effort setting up all this stuff so that you and I can come in here and just talk and share the word of God with everybody. And you know what, Pastor Todd, I want you to tell us a little bit about how your week's been. What have you done so far this week?
Oh, nothing much. No. yeah, it's been interesting curfew Sunday nope. night, and then Monday, and talking to a lot of people, and about a lot of issues and things, and we can say, we could go into it and say a lot of stuff, but can I, you know, I want to make it really clear. Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ is the answer. You know, we, to follow him, in fact, we talked about it on Sunday, is God first. You know, mm-hmm. God first, if we put God first and we love God, then God, love people.
That's right.
And Jesus said there's two commandments, you know. He said, basically, you can break these 156 commandments, you can break them all down to two. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So love God, love people. So that's what I've been working on, trying to talk
that's
to
right.
people about love God and love people.
You know, this world wouldn't be in the mess that it's in, and this country wouldn't be, there wouldn't be any rioting, there wouldn't be any of this stuff going on if we just followed those two things.
Yep.
Love God and love people. You know, the answer, and I'm glad you said that about Christ being the answer, because the answer is not in being a Republican or a Democrat. The answer is not being in young or old or taking this political persuasion or that political persuasion. Let me tell you something. The answer today is Jesus Christ. Amen. And until we have a revival sweep across this land where hearts and minds and lives are turned to the Lord, Amen. There's not going to be peace. You know what? Because we can't know peace unless we know who? The Prince of Peace. Amen. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Pastor Todd, how does the world give? When it gives you something, how does the world give it to you?
With a lot of times the strings attached. You know, love is a desire to give. Lust is a desire to get.
Yeah.
And so you, depending on what kind of motive you have, mm-hmm. then you're in that. And if God is love, He is. God is love. God always has a desire to give. For God so loved the world, He gave. So giving is love. And sometimes, like you said, sin or the world, they give something to get, you know. And so, yeah.
Yeah, well, what the world will do is, okay, I'm going to give to you as long as I know I'm getting something in return.
Yeah.
And the minute you stop giving back to me, well, then I cut it off. And I'm not going to give. But you know what the Bible says, and we need to know this, what the Word of God has to say. And this is, you know, Jesus said that in the end times, men's hearts will fail them for fear.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of desperation out there. Yeah. But do you know what the Word of God has to say about fear? It says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love
and a sound
mind." Amen. And that's what we need today. You know, we need Jesus. We need Jesus in our schools. We need Jesus in our courthouses. We need Jesus in our churches. A lot of churches out there, there's no Jesus in it. Jesus, I think that's the first place He needs to go, to all the churches.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Because revival has to start in the house of God. And you and I need to, more than ever, and we're going to talk about this tonight, more than ever, we need to have to make sure that we spend our times in prayer and time in the house of God, time in the Word of God, and time letting people know. We need to spend time letting people know that are around us, that are near and dear to our hearts, how much that they mean to us. Because you know what? Life is a fragile thing. This has been a weird, weird year so far. I mean, we're just barely halfway into it, and then all of a sudden you've got all this stuff happening.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the rest of the year is going to hold, but I do know this, for one way or another, at least for a little while, things are going to be different. Things are going to be different when you go to school. Things are certainly different if you go out to a restaurant. Who knows when you can go back to a movie or go back to a sporting event or anything like that. Things are going to be different. Tonight what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about new beginnings.
Wow.
And Pastor Todd, what is the word? And we're going to start off some of our stories and some of our examples are in the book of Genesis. Pastor Todd, what is the book of Genesis? What does the word Genesis mean?
Beginning.
Yeah,
beginning.
It means beginnings.
Yeah.
And tonight what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about Adam and Eve. We're going to be talking about, next week we'll be talking about Noah. Tonight also we'll be talking about Abraham and his call for God to take him from the land that he was occupying, take him to a land that Abraham never had been there before. He didn't even know where he was going. God says, "You know, Abraham, I want you to move. I want you to go someplace." Abraham said, "God, where?" And he says, "You know what? Just start walking. Start walking south, and I'll let you know when you get there."
Yeah.
So that's what we need to do. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you see that in the book of Genesis. You have Adam and Eve. And that was a whole new beginning for the entire planet, for the entire human race, for all the different things. And the Bible has so much to say in such a short amount of verses and a short amount of chapters. I wish it said more, frankly, but we can take a lot of the things that the Word of God has to say about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were starting. They were starting. And one of the first things that you do for a new beginning, Because that's what we're in right now. We're in a new beginning. I almost feel like it's a, you ever watch those nature programs where an old bear comes out of a cave and he's been hibernating for 6 months. And boy, you know, he needs to get after it. He needs to go out there and eat, and he needs to take care of business. And because it's the spring, it's a beginning of a new year. Well, I feel that we're kind of like that, like we've been isolated for so long. But you know what? When we start off, when we start this beginning, because things are going to be different from here on out, when we start this beginning, we need to make sure that we do some of the same things that people in the Word of God did when they experienced beginnings. The very first thing, Pastor Todd, the Bible says about Adam and Eve, it says Adam and Eve talked with the Lord.
Amen.
Adam, it said Adam walked in the cool of the day with God, and he communed with God.
Yeah.
Of course, this was before the fall. We'll talk about the fall here in a second. But Pastor Todd, talk to us for a second about how important it is to have that daily communion with God.
Amen. We, you know, it goes back to what we're saying, love God, love people. But mm-hmm. you have to be talking to God constantly for you to know his heart. If God is a spirit. Mm-hmm. Those that worship him in spirit and in truth. And then Jesus said, I will send my spirit. I will send that same spirit. He will be with you and he'll be in you. But what happens is we do that. We receive that. But the spirit doesn't sit around. I mean, you know, I talked about it Sunday. He teaches. Mm-hmm. He preaches. He talks. He prays. And if he moves and you move a different way, then now you're out of the will of God, or you're out of that movement towards God. So you have to follow the Spirit, or be led by the Spirit, I guess is the way to put it. You know, have the Spirit of God leading you. So we'll go back to Adam and Eve. They were walking. There's a great book. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called mm-hmm. Ethics. And that book is an incredible book because it talks about being led by the presence of God. You know, they every day in the cool of the evening, they would walk with God. Their ethics were in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't want to steal the thunder, but when they sin, what do? They hide.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, we're naked. And God goes, who told you you were naked? Because yeah. everything comes from me. So who's telling you
yeah.
these things? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, our ethics, our ethnos has to come through God.
Has to come from the Lord. We, you know, and so our relationship with Christ is so much, in so many ways, like a husband's relationship with a wife. And, you know, in a marriage, in a healthy marriage, there are times when a husband and a wife have quality time together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's no good when a husband and wife spend days and weeks and months, never talk to each other. You know, never have quiet, you know, alone time with one another. Never have date night with one another. After a while, if you neglect those things, and it just happens this way. If you neglect to have that quiet time, that date night, that alone time, that communion with your spouse, your relationship is going to suffer because of it.
Going two different directions.
Yeah, you're going, pretty soon you're just drifting apart, yeah. two different directions. Let me tell you something, it is exactly the same way with the yeah. Lord. Daily we need to have an alone time Amen. With him. Even if it's for 15 minutes, just to say, Lord, I call upon you. God, thank you for everything that you've done. We need to have that communion with the Lord mm-hmm. as part of our life. And for however long, the Bible doesn't really make that clear, however long that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before the fall, yeah. could have been a long, long time.
What if it was hundreds of years?
Yeah, something like that. We don't know. But we do know that during those times, Adam had communion with God during those times. That was a time of new beginnings. During this time of new beginnings that we have,
yeah.
getting over this virus, who knows when it's totally going to go away? Who knows when we're going to have a immunization for it? Maybe it'll go away on its own. I don't think so, but maybe it will. You know, life is different. But during this time of new beginnings and fresh start, we need to make sure that communion time and quality time is a priority in our life when it comes to the presence of God. The next thing that they had was they had to walk in obedience. Pastor Todd, what was the one thing that God told them that they shouldn't do? Okay. What was and what did they do about it? What was that?
They did it.
They ended up doing it.
He said, this one tree, do not take you know, and eat the fruit from this tree. Well, yeah. Then the serpent comes and, you know, deceives Eve by mm-hmm. saying that, oh, he doesn't want you to do that because you'll become like God. And, you know, I ask it all the time in our services, how many of you know the difference between good and evil? You know, a lot of people raise their hand. I say, oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Because we really shouldn't know that.
Yeah.
We should have never had that reality put into us. We should, and it goes back to the relationship with Jesus. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you know, then you know good because he's leading you, mm-hmm. you know, in things that are good. Even the hypocrites and the Pharisees at the time didn't see that in Jesus. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, you can't heal a person on the Sabbath. Really?
Yeah.
What does it say in the Bible? Not to heal
yeah.
a person. You know, but they were following the letter of the law. And Jesus is like, I have a relationship, guys. You know, I don't sin. I'm the Son of God.
That's right.
I don't sin. I have a relationship. So that's, I can see us there even now in America and everything. We're all, you know, we get righteous about something, but we don't understand, you know, from the relationship of forgiving and loving and, you know.
Forgiveness is a big part of it. Let me tell you, when we're with each other, when we're cooped up, when we're in the same house together, when we're, you know, climbing all over each other because we're not allowed to go anywhere. Let me tell you something. Forgiveness is a big thing. Forgiveness is a big thing in any sort of relationship. And of course, you know, in our relationship with God, him forgiving us. We daily need his forgiveness,
Amen.
You know, but we need to walk in obedience, and all sorts of bad things happen when there is not obedience. And the next thing that Adam and Eve did, and it may surprise you to hear this from me, but they worked hard. What was one of the things that God told Adam to do? He said, you know, be fruitful and multiply,
yeah.
subdue the earth.
Wow.
Subdue, that sounds like work. That means go out and take control of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That means go out, and he told Adam to go out and name all the animals. You know, that's got to be a huge job. Think about the computer brain Adam had to have
yeah.
at one point, just to name all the animals and subdue and do all the things. Adam got to work. Pastor Todd, during this time of new beginnings, I know we've been at home. I know we've been frustrated. But, you know, now more than ever, we need to get back to work are the things of God. And then we need to get back to work in our family and in our church. We need to get busy about the things of God.
Well, you were saying about new beginnings. And so let's take it as a pastor or a minister. And I felt I was doing some things. I'd come back from Chiapas, Mexico, and barely got back across the border. And then we had somebody else preach Sunday. And then on Monday, they were like, you're not going to open up your church. And I'm like, oh, yes, I am. And then my leaders say, no, you're not
yeah.
opening up your church. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I understand that. I had never in my entire life did what we're doing right now. I've never went Facebook Live. I have friends and stuff that did. But on the next morning, on Tuesday, and I've been doing it every day, and
mm-hmm.
do it for 5 minutes. I went live because I knew that we got to work hard. And if you listen to those 5 minutes, every time at the end, I will say, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And I've talked to all my pastor friends, everyone that's ministering. They have never worked harder than they're working now with empty churches. Now we're able to fill it up.
Yeah.
But you heard at the beginning of the year, I heard increase and had no idea what that meant. But
yeah.
we're doing two services. We have 8 a.m. and a 10 a.m. The 10 a.m. is online, and we're willing to do a third service. We're willing to do a fourth, a fifth. But I think we get complacent, maybe, you know, but now... this has changed, and it's a new beginning, and we realize
yeah.
it's time to tell people about Jesus.
Well, you know what? I'm thankful in a way. I'm thankful for the shakeup. This
yeah.
is a bit of a shaking.
It's
a bit of a wake-up call. It's a bit of a stirring in the church. And if it causes a little bit, you know, every once in a while, and you see this over and over again in the Bible, and then maybe in our own personal lives too, we do get complacent.
Yeah.
We'll sit there, and it's like, oh, things are good. Yeah, just going to sit here. But you know, I think circumstances and the Lord will kind of push us in a direction to where maybe we can't stay. You know, this last few weeks ago, hey, we can't stay doing the things that we need, that we've always been doing, the way that we've always been doing them. Yeah. But one thing that we can do, we need to change up. And what you did was brilliant. The very next day, you go on Facebook Live giving encouragement. Well, you know, and then on the Sunday, you're giving the sermons, you're giving the services. It wasn't long before Wednesday night, we were in here and doing what we needed to do in here. You know what? Quickly, we adapted and we changed. And that's one thing we need to do in our personal lives too, is we can't be so stuck in the past and in the old ways that we've always done things. We need to adapt. Yeah. We need to change. We need to go out there, and you know what, the world is changing around us, and how are we going to reach the world? Now, our message never changes. That's one thing that never changes. But when we go out into the world, we need to adapt and to change to what the world's doing. Not to be like the world, but to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, the message doesn't change. It's always Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the Son of God, rose again on the third day, seated at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. That's always been the message, you know. But in the last few weeks, maybe like no time before in your ministry that spanned, you know, 3 decades, you've had to change quickly, and I really admire you and thank you for doing that and keeping this church up on what it needs to do and adapting and overcoming that sort of thing. So have you noticed that the people are willing to change, or do you see that folks are like dragging their feet?
No, I mean, absolutely, people understand. It's you know, with obstacles and problems comes opportunities. And we have seen, I believe, the church step up like never before. In fact, I mean, we're not going to do it tonight, but we do it on Sundays. People are having piece of bread
Leola and I do it at our house.
Communion at their home when they can't be here. And, you know, outside of the walls, we've broken outside the walls. We are right now probably talking to people in Mexico. We have people online that watch us and tune in. In India, I got a guy in Pakistan. You know, we're doing around 1,000 views or so on the Sunday service, but we're doing about 200 full throughs, which means they're watching the full thing. And that came, I mean, I remember the Lord telling me in March, you're going to triple and quadruple. And all we did was go backwards. We went to an empty church, but we went live. And at that time, that's what happened. I mean, people are able to access. And here's the thing, though. God is calling people to Himself, and people are coming from all over. I mean, you know, we have homeless people that come all the time. But I have just people who drive up. You guys have had guys drive up, and they do the drive-through.
They have the signs out there?
And, I mean, people are just, they're hungry for Jesus, and good, because that's what we need.
We need Jesus, period.
I mean, and He's the answer. So.
We need people hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. Let me tell you something, Pastor Todd. You pastor this church is full of some of the finest, greatest people I've ever known in my life. They have stepped up in a big way. If somebody isn't emptying the trash, then another person is filling up bags for homeless folks that come by. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is holding out signs there, and another person, Trenton, just this last last Wednesday, brought out a grill and, hey, do you mind if we make pork chops? Yeah, hey, you know, knock yourself out. Let's do it. And each and every one of us, you got David Ryan back there, who's a whiz with all the audio and visual stuff. Yay. And we've got Jacob back there, who's also tuned into the audio and visual stuff. It's a professional thing. And we love all the people that's here. We've got Ken over there that can reach out to the biker community like you and I can't. Because you know what? We don't have any credit. We don't have any cash in the bank when it comes to the biker community. But you know what? Ken does. And when he walks up to them, he's able to minister to them. That's you know right. why? Because he understands what they've been through.
Yeah. Amen.
He understands what they've been through. So this church has really stepped up in a huge way. And really, my hat's just off to everybody. Another thing that we want to talk about tonight, we got about 15 or 20 minutes left. We also wanted to talk about Abraham. Abraham. Now, at the age, did you sing that in did you used to,
Father Abraham. Abraham,
many sons, many sons. And so, Abraham, how old, does anybody know how old Abraham was? He had many sons. Yeah, that was later. But when he was called of God, he lived up in the northern country in what is right now modern day Iran and Iraq. Okay, up in that. Now, this goes back 4,000 years. Okay, but he lived in that area. And at the ripe old age of 75, God calls him. And you know what the Lord says to him? The Lord says to him, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Now, there was a problem with that. Okay, Abraham was old. His wife was old. They were both, you know, 75 years or so. And problem with that was Abraham didn't have any kids. And, you know, he didn't have any kids. Now, there's a little bit of a problem there. But do you know what? Even from lifelessness, God can bring life.
Amen.
And that's the whole story of the resurrection, but that's a story for another day. But God told Abraham, Abraham, I want you to go. I want you to start traveling south. I want you to start walking. I want you to take all your people with you. And when you get down there, when you get to the place where you're supposed to be, I'm going to tell you. And what does Abraham say? Okay, let's go. And so Abraham, that's why all through the New Testament, especially in the book of Romans, it talks about how Abraham believed God. Pastor Todd, talk about this for a second. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It wasn't church things that he did. It wasn't all the things that we count of as righteousness. He did one thing that counted righteousness. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Righteousness is right standing. So if you're right standing with God, or you're standing on the right place. So let's go back to Adam and Eve. You obey. One tree, obey. They disobey. God, Abraham, and a lot of people think Abraham was just talking to God every 5 minutes. He'd hear from God like every 10 years, or, real far apart. But the one word he heard, he obeyed. He obeyed completely and would do whatever God asked him to do. And it was accounted unto him as right standing with God. He would do what he knew at the time, the best that he could do. I know another guy they talk about, righteous Noah, righteous, but it was right standing.
Right standing with God. You know, another thing that it talks about, he believed God. But talk about for a second, you know, in the very beginning, he probably wrestled with fear, because that would be a fearful thing. That would be a fearful thing. God, somebody who I've never, you know, seen before, somebody I wasn't even sure, you know, all of a sudden he's calling me, and he's telling me to go down and to do something that totally makes no sense whatsoever. What kind of fear do you think that Abraham had to overcome in order to get to the place where he was obedient to the call of God?
Well, can you imagine the fear we're going through now, and the fear that you go through? And I can imagine that, you know, leaving what he knows and, and following. But he trusts God. He believed in God.
Yeah. So. Well, one of the things that the Bible said before he was even called of God, that he was a... From the narrative, from the story, it talks about how Abraham was a wealthy man. It talks about him having servants and herds and everything. And so he would have had to, you know, if I'm in a place of business, if I'm a rancher or a farmer or whatever Abraham was back then, he was a wealthy man. And if things are going well for me here, okay, and you're telling me to go over there, hey, no, things are going good for me here.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to move from this place. I don't want to move from this place of prosperity, this place of complacency. I don't want to move. This is really, I'm sure Abraham even said this at one point. You know what? This is working for me. Whatever's going on right here, this is working for me. I've got land as far as the eye can see, and I've got a house full of servants, and I've got, you know, all these different things going on. But he had to overcome the anxiety, like we have to today. How many of you have lately, within the last few weeks, had to deal with fear and anxiety? Amen. You know, hands are going up all over the place. That's what we have to do. We have to deal with the fear and the anxiety. But you know what John chapter 14 says when Jesus was talking to his disciples? He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe, like Abraham, believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. So Abraham had to overcome that fear. Pastor Todd, how many times do you have to deal with people in your office when they come to you and they're just gripped in anxiety and gripped in fear? How often do you have to deal with that sort of thing?
All the time, and right now a lot. You know, I feel it every day, you know, through people. And they're, even my family and everyone that I know, I mean, we keep thinking, well, when's the next shoe going to drop? Because, you know, I know we're talking to a friend and he went to sleep on Sunday, woke up, and it's like, we had a curfew? How did that happen? And I said, yeah, we have a curfew and those kind of, there's the things in the new beginnings are changing all the time. When you're in a new beginning and things are different, it's, you know, it's scary. Things change. I can imagine Abraham going from a land he knew everything, he knew where every well was, where every eating place for the sheep was, everything, to go to another land that he had no idea. He had to dig wells in the middle of nowhere and get water. But Christ said he would be with us. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll be with us. So that anxiety, we have to go through it, not around it, but just say, Jesus, walk through it. You know, hold that staff. You'll be my rod, my staff. They comfort me. You know, You know the scripture.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, what we have here is Abraham overcoming his fear.
Yeah.
Abraham believing God. And the next thing we have here is almost exactly the same thing as with Adam and Eve. Abraham went to work. You just said it yourself. Hey, if we, you know, God led me to a desert, you know, what's the first thing I'm going to do when I get to a desert? Well, you know what, guys? We better get to digging a well. If we're going to stay here, if God's calling us, Abraham just didn't fall backwards and say, well, I'm here where the Lord wants me now, and I'm just going to throw a hammock in between these two trees and just kind of here, get his servants to do all the work and everything. Yep, we finally made it. No, when he got to the place in obedience where God wanted him to be, he went to work then. And that's the same thing you and I need to do. We need to get to work. Let me tell you something. I heard somebody say this week, and it just kind of gripped my heart. You know, when you pray for God to move a mountain, you better be ready to pick up a shovel. Wow. That was in somebody's Facebook thing here. You better be ready to pick up a shovel because you need to go to work. Now, are you going to just sit back and expect for the Lord to do everything and expect for the Lord to do anything? No, it says that even he prospered so much. The Bible says Abraham prospered, and, you know, prosperity comes after making good decisions and working hard. Yeah. That he and his brother's son, his nephew, Lot, they got to a place in when they entered the promised land that they were so blessed and they had so many herds and so many cattle and camels and horses and servants that the land was not able to support all of them. There wasn't enough grass to go around. There wasn't enough water to go around. Things had boomed so much because of their obedience to God. All of a sudden, him and Lot, you know, look at each other and say, hey, you know, God, we got so much cattle and so many things like that. There's just not enough. So they had to split off.
Yes.
And Lot went one direction and Abraham went another direction. But first thing that they did, the wrong direction, went to the well-watered plains of Jordan, it says. Yeah. And then Abraham took this. But, you know, it was God's promise. Amen. And when God provides a promise, and then next week we'll talk about when the children of Israel come into the land flowing with milk and honey and tells Joshua, you know, every place on which your foot shall tread, I will give it to you. Well, he gave Joshua those things, but do you know what? They still had armies to conquer. They still had cities to conquer. They still had a lot of hard work to do. So every time there's a promise that God has given you, it requires us to roll up our sleeves and go to work, except for one promise. And what promise is that? The promise of salvation. Amen. The Bible says it's not of works. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's one thing that you can't work for is your salvation. If you try to work for your salvation, whatever work you're working to work for your salvation, you're going to come up woefully short. But let me tell you something. All the work that was done was based upon the cross of Jesus Christ and us trusting. And that gets us back to Abraham believing God, and it counted unto him for righteousness. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we'll be saved, our household will be saved. And if we believe on him, then it'll be counted unto us for righteousness. That is right standing with God. And lastly, what we want to talk about tonight, Pastor Todd, what's another thing? This is all recorded in Genesis chapter 12.
Abraham prospered.
Abraham prospered. Yeah. And do you know what he did after he prospered? Is the same thing we need to do. What did he do?
He blessed others.
Yeah. Abraham prospered, and Abraham went to work. And in Genesis 12:7, what else did he do?
He built an altar.
He built an altar. Amen. Do you know an altar in the Old Testament times is a little bit different than we think of an altar today? A little bit, not a whole lot different. In our churches, way back when, churches always had like a bench or a place to kneel up in the front, and that was a place. You don't see them as much in churches anymore because of the laid out floor plans and everything. And what was an altar meant to be in one of our churches in generations gone by? What was an altar meant to be?
It was a place where you came and gave yourself to the Lord. I mean, you just sacrificed. I mean, an altar back then too is when they brought their sacrifice.
Sure.
And David says later, you know, in one of his Psalms, a broken heart and a contrite heart is what you desire. I bring the sacrifice of myself. I mean, at that time they really brought lambs and, you know, and real animals, but he built an altar to sacrifice to God.
He built an altar. He says, Lord, you've prospered me. I've come. Now, this is a period of years. And by the way, it was about 20 plus years between the time that Abraham was promised that he'd be a father of many nations, and before his first son was born. It was about 24, 25 years.
Yep.
You talk about a long time, a long, long time waiting on God. You know what, guys? Sometimes we have to wait on the Lord just as long. Sometimes we'll get in a hurry and say, Lord, you know, we live in this instant society. We have instant messaging. We have instant oatmeal. We have instant hot chocolate. We have instant all sorts of things. You know, we stand in front of the microwave screaming, hurry up, hurry up. If it takes longer than a minute for something to heat up. But, you know, God doesn't work that way. He works in his own perfect time and during the time. And when he gets ready to work, you better hang on, because when he gets to work, things are going to start happening. But sometimes it takes a long time for it to happen. But when Abraham came into the land, he built an altar. And you know what that altar is? That altar signifies, in the Old Testament times, an altar signified, this is a place where I met God. This is a memorial. This is a place to where even if I leave and never come back, okay, it'll always be known as a place where I met God. You know, a lot of times we'll come forward to an altar of prayer and we'll get tuned in with the Lord and, you know, get really blessed. And then we get up and leave. No, not so in the Old Testament. They built their own altar.
Yeah.
Okay. They met with the Lord. And after they spent days and days at that altar, fasting and praying and meeting with God, that was always a place. You even have a grandson named after that, a place of memorial, a place of remembrance. Talk about that for a second.
Well, Ebenezer is a stone of remembrance, remembering what God has done.
That's right.
You know, but in the altar, they would build rocks and everything that would be there. But I think something we might need to touch on too is they would bring sacrifice. Even Job brought sacrifices. In other words, even David said, I won't give to God anything that doesn't cost me something. And I think, you know, you were talking about the old days and come down and people might come to altar and cry and everything and then go back and live the same way.
Yeah.
An altar, if you're not figuratively really giving something, when you go to that altar, you're saying, I'm repenting, I'm turning, away from what I was doing, and now I'm turning towards something. And you put your money where your mouth is. You know, yeah. I mean, you give it 100%. I think of the kid that they were taking offering, and he didn't have any money, and they got to the back, and he put the offering plate down. And he stood in it. And
yeah.
He said, I give myself. That's what we do when we go to the altar. We say, God, I give you everything. I'm giving you my mind. Let's go back to Adam and Eve and everything. I'm giving you everything. If you say, get out of my house and go knock on my neighbor's door, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
If you say to call somebody and encourage them, I'm going to do that. You know, the altar is, we're giving up, you know, maybe the things that we want to do, but we're giving up for the best of what God. And what did Abraham put on that altar? When after he had this miracle son, he had a miracle
later
son.
Later on, yeah.
And the boy is old enough, and he goes up with him, and God says, I want your boy.
That's right.
And so he puts him on the altar, binds him up, ready to sacrifice him.
That's right.
And the angel stops it. And that's what we have to. We got to be willing to give ourselves as a sacrifice. Yeah. Everything that we have, whatever God wants to use.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what we need to do. You know, I'm glad you brought that story up about the life of Abraham, because that's maybe one of the least understood episodes in Abraham's life. If you're not familiar with the story, and Isaac at the time was older. He wasn't, a lot of times in the children's church books, and so you see him as a little boy. He was an older teen, or at least a young adult, when this happened.
Yeah.
And he would follow Abraham up on top of the mountain, and Isaac would be, Father, you know, what are we doing up here? What did Abraham say? God will provide.
God
Jehovah
will provide.
Jireh. And after a while, Isaac says to Abraham, you know, we built this altar, and I see the wood, I see the altar, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham put Isaac on the altar, getting ready to sacrifice him. Okay, this is the part that's misunderstood a little bit, okay? God did not require Abraham to sacrifice his son. He did require Abraham's obedience, okay? And you know what, God, you say, that's an awful thing. That's a horrible thing to require somebody to sacrifice their son.
For God so loved the world.
Yeah, you fell right into it.
For God so loved the world.
But do you know what? Do you know what? And it doesn't say what they said. It said that after all this, when the angel came back and stayed the hand of Abraham before he's ready to plunge the knife into Isaac, you know, God takes Abraham aside and says, here, let me tell you a few things about what's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, but God says, no, Abraham, you don't have to sacrifice your son. You know why? Because I'll sacrifice my son. You think it's a horrible thing that for somebody to have to sacrifice their son? Yeah, you bet it's a horrible thing. But you know, because he lives, Jesus Christ, because he lives, we can live also.
Amen.
So the next time you get to throwing rocks at God about him requiring Isaac's life on an altar for Abraham to take his son's life, remember, Isaac didn't die that day.
Mm-mm.
But 2,000 plus years later, Jesus hung on a cross, and God willingly and Jesus willingly suffered and died on that cross for you and I. So the only one who sacrificed any son during this whole thing was God.
Amen.
And that's how much he loved us.
Amen.
Yeah. So, you know, I have a lot of people before that are saying, oh, that's horrible of God to do it. No, you need to read, like the old Paul Harvey thing.
Yeah.
Now the rest of the story. You need to read the end of the book. So anyway, he went to work. He built an altar. And as we get ready to wrap up, Pastor Todd, we've just got about 2 minutes left. We need, that's what we need to do.
Right now. Yeah.
During this time, we need to get to work. We need to have obedience to be part of our lives. We need to have faithfulness to be part of our lives. We need to make sure that we commune with God daily, that we make him a part of our everyday life, that we're obedient to the things that he's taught us, and that we get to work.
Amen.
You know, I've been, you know, we're human beings. We need to be around each other. And I don't care who you are. As human beings, we need something to do.
Amen.
Okay? And we need to make sure that we are busy about the things of the Lord. Pastor Todd, why don't you go ahead tonight and dismiss us in prayer? And
then let me just go off of what you said.
Go ahead.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't require that from you or me. Jesus did that willingly. So if you're watching online or even you're here in the service tonight and you say, I don't have Christ as my personal Savior, well, we can fix that right now. Here's what we're going to do. It says in the Bible that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, you will be saved. And that perfect sacrifice, what God did, he said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anyone that says, I accept you, Jesus, I confess that you rose from the dead, you will be saved. You can do that right now. So just pray this with me. Right now we're going to pray, Jesus, forgive me. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you rose from the dead. And I thank you for forgiving me. And I repent from my sins. And I turn towards you. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen, amen. I heard that everybody saying that here, and I'm sure you said it out there. And God loves you, and he forgives you. If you need any materials or any help, just text us in the comments below and let us know, and we'll reach out to you.
Now, Pastor Todd, there's going to be two services on Sunday. The 8 o'clock service will not be televised,
but
the 10 o'clock service will.
And if you've already come to the 10 o'clock, we know, but if you're not, if you haven't came yet, just let us know, text us, or put in the comments that you want to come for the first time at 10, and we'll be prepared for you. And the same for the 8. Just let us know. We have plenty of room in the 8, and we will make room in the 10 o'clock. We have a lot of people come to 10 o'clock. And if, like I said, if we have to do a third service, we will.
We will. You bet we will. That'll be great. Let's go ahead and dismiss in prayer, and then I'll let everybody get out of here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. God, we praise you. We give you glory. Lord, thank you for allowing us to meet in your house and to be alive at such a time as this. What an exciting time to be alive. God, I pray that you bless your people tonight. God, give them extra special favor with you. Give them a great night's sleep tonight, and give them a fantastic day tomorrow in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. You're dismissed.